Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to regress. Are you ready to regress? Well, don't we all regress from time to time in different ways? But this way is through hypnosis. And in order to regress properly, or at least to learn about this type of regression properly, is a guest who was on my show before. She has a wonderful book called Return Again, How to Do Your Own Past Life Regression. And I'm speaking with Georgina Cannon. Georgina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure being here again, connecting with you in New York. That's terrific.
Yeah, and I'm so glad we could. You're up in Toronto.
That's right.
We're both East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Same time zone.
Right. And I'm very excited about talking with you about regression in this lifetime, regressing back through our lives and then actually through other lives, our previous lifetimes. If that happens in the sessions you have with people, it's not the only thing you're interested in. You're actually helping people, you're counseling people, helping people as a hypnotherapist to discover themselves through regression, right?
Absolutely. My mantra really is to help people find their own magnificence, because we are so much more than we seem. And most people, you know, live on such a surface level, not through their own fault, but because they don't know the questions to ask. And when they find their way to the clinic, or they find their way to one of my books, then a door begins to open and we take full advantage of it. And the best way to take advantage of that, once they're comfortable, of course, is to find out which pieces of themselves are blocking which pieces, and start the work there. And sometimes it's an illness, sometimes it's just a low self-esteem, or sometimes it's something that's more profound, like an early life trauma that they haven't been able to forget at a cellular level. So we have to shift it.
It's amazing that there's this window that you help people climb into. It's a window that so many people are not familiar with. And it comes through the trance state of hypnosis. Yes. That accesses parts of our energy field. I don't want to say the mind itself, because
we don't know
that any of that is held in the mind. It's certainly held in our consciousness.
And the body, for sure.
In the hologram of ourselves.
Yes.
And so you take people into that place where they actually have the window to their story in ways that their conscious mind hasn't seen it yet.
And they get so excited, because it's a bit like discovering themselves all over again. It's a rebirth almost. As an example, one of my recent clients is a medical doctor who, for most of his life, as long as he could remember, certainly preteen, he's had terrible migraine headaches and his teeth hurt. And he's, being a medical doctor, he's tried everything. He's had every single test you can imagine, of course, with the allopathic medicine. And he sat in my chair, I was just doing intake. He wasn't even in the hypnosis chair. And at one point I said, you know, why don't you close your eyes and tell me what it feels like? I know it hurts, but tell me what it feels like to have this teeth hurt and the migraines all the time. He closed his eyes and he immediately, there wasn't two breaths taken, he went back to being a young boy in a small village, either in Poland or Russia, running, terrified, because there were Cossacks on horseback. He was in the middle of a pogrom, and he was shot in the back of the head. And the blast went through the back of his head and came out of his mouth, like his teeth. It was uncanny. I can tell you, it was certainly no more than 30 to 45 seconds. So I did all the healing and the mending and everything around that. And then I asked him again, he hadn't moved from the chair. And I said, so why don't we go into that ancient part of you and ask if there's somewhere else we need to go to uncover and heal? He immediately, without a breath, became an artist in Holland in the 14th century. And this is not programmed. This, he just happened. Became an artist in the 14th century, painting a portrait, and he was wetting his brush in his mouth. And he said to himself, because the doctor part of him was still very present, he said, oh my God, I'm giving myself lead poisoning. And he saw himself painting. He got his name, beginning with an R, And it went on and on and on. And then he died in what he called the crazy house, racked with pain. His teeth were black. And every bone in his body ached from the lead poisoning. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you that his headaches went and his teeth got better. Not quite, but they lessened. So now what we're working on, which is much slower, because we found the cause, or certainly part of it, we're now working on the holographic, the cellular, the energetic memory that he brought in with him, not just the actual memory itself. Because as you know, Peter, we carry it at many, many levels energetically through all different levels of our being. So we've had to heal that. We're healing those slowly, those different levels. We can't let them all go at once. It was so traumatic that, and of course he's been living this. He's now in his 70s, still working, still a great diagnostic doctor, but he is getting better. He's feeling a little better about himself. He's having a hard time letting go of the story because the story has been with him a long time, to be fair. But certainly he's getting better. So, and that was without trying hard.
It's amazing because you didn't have to do much. You were there to witness it.
All I did was ask the question. I mean, as you know, the key to our success with clients is to know the question to ask.
For sure.
Because they have the answers. They have all the answers.
I always tell people the answers aren't where the genius is. It's the genius is in the questions, because without the questions, you don't get to the answers.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, you have to know the question to ask.
Right. And so that's what fascinates me about hypnotherapists, and since you've been doing this for so long with so many people, written mm-hmm. books about it, I'm sure you're one of the better questioners. And that, to me, is one of the keys of a good hypnotherapist, is they ask you where you need to go and they give you mm-hmm. the questions to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I learned that actually. I was a journalist when I was in England. So I learned that sometimes you get the best stories by being quiet. You know, but you get the best stories by saying, oh. And always, one of my favorite questions always was, and it still is, tell me something you prefer I didn't know. And people will always tell you.
Wow.
It's extraordinary.
That's
so
fantastic.
If you know they're living trauma and they're covering it over, you know, sometimes they come in for things like nail biting, or they come in because they can't sleep. But you know, and you can see, because, you know, you can see energy, and you can see that there's more to the story, but they just don't trust themselves or don't believe it or whatever. And when you say to them, okay, that's very thorough and very good. Thank you so much. Now, tell me one more thing that you prefer I didn't know, and out it will come.
All you have to do is ask.
All you have to do is ask. That's right.
But they trust you. Their guard is down.
Isn't that our job, to make a safe place so people can discover themselves?
Sure. That's
isn't,
why they
isn't
come.
Isn't that what we really do? We make a safe place for them so they can take risk.
Well, not only don't we love doing that, but don't they love the opportunity to finally be free to express themselves?
Oh, and feel safe.
Yeah.
Most people don't feel safe with themselves. It's really extraordinary, actually, and very sad in a way.
But I think that's a key for you actually being a hypnotherapist, is that you create the security that allows people to go deep into the relaxation.
Yes, indeed, to the part of them that they are exploring, or the part they didn't even know they had, which is always fun, especially with past lives. And they come out having been a sailor or a baker, or, you know, someone who made botanicals out of wildflowers. And they say, wow, so that's cool. That's why I am interested in such and such and such. Or that's why I can't stand my mother-in-law.
There are so many interesting stories once you know the past. I just
right.
came across that the other day. I know that my last lifetime was in India, mm-hmm. and I was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to be in an intuitive state, and I asked for guidance about what was my married, was I married, and what happened, you know? And I was told that, yes, I was married to a woman who had no respect for my spiritual path.
Oh.
and was putting me down all the time. And then it turns out that I asked if that person is in this life, and I was told, yes, it's my ex-wife. And she did the same thing in this life. I guess
we do bring in patterns, don't we? We really do.
But we were able to complete it in this lifetime. That's why she's my ex-wife. And that was a long time ago. That relationship ended about 38 years ago.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So I've been happily married to another woman since then. Not ever since then, but we've been together for 34 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. So that's great.
Yes, and she totally respects my spiritual path.
I'm not surprised. Otherwise, you know, you'd have to do it all over again. That wouldn't be fun.
Right.
And then go through that experience again in another lifetime. Fun at all.
But that's the window that you give people is mm-hmm. to be able to find those things, because mm-hmm. so many people don't have this ability to automatically on their own regress themselves or think back or whatever it takes to
right.
relive something. They need
right.
the access that you give them.
Well, I also do it in my books that I write. I believe books, from my point of view, should be interactive, and I believe that they need to be engaging and not simplistic, but accessible. So even in this current book, there is a soul circle meditation script. So the person can have a trusted friend read it to them, or they can record it themselves and take themselves into that soul circle and ask some questions and just explore. There's also in the book a visualization of the new you. So once you've discovered those pieces about yourself, you can have a look and see what you're going to become in the best possible way, you know, how you're going to fit into your new life with your new understanding, because the right. absorption process, the integration of the wisdom, is equally important.
Well, what you were saying to me earlier before we started airing the show was that people have this experience that they go back and they can clear it up because they've had that experience. They know mm-hmm. themselves in ways they didn't know themselves before, and
right.
therefore it removes the lock on that.
Yes.
And so you actually are unlocking people from their past by giving them witness to it.
I slightly rephrase it. I say they are unlocking themselves.
Well, right. You're giving them the opportunity.
I'm giving them the space and the safety in which to do it.
Yes.
You can, the old story of leading a horse to water, you can't make them drink. I provide the space, I provide the guidance, if you like, shine the light for them to find their way, a bit like an usher in a theater. You know, when you go to the theater, somebody helps you find your seat. That's all I do. I just help them find their way. Mm. And what they do is miraculous.
Right, but they can really do it best knowing that they're in the hands of someone who is
yes.
so well-versed at this.
Yes, and they feel safe.
Yeah.
I think that's key. The safety thing is key. And also, they don't have to be in such deep hypnosis. You know, people come in, they're quite scared of hypnosis. They think that they're going to be, I don't know, they're going to levitate or made to quack like a duck, or, you know, I'm going to take over their body, mind, and spirit. And what they don't understand is that they don't have to be in deep hypnosis to do this. They just have to let go and allow themselves to just imagine what if, and imagine. So when I said to my client the other day, so tell me more about the pain. I know it hurts, but tell me about the pain. If, you know, your teeth, imagine, what are they feeling right now? And that took him right there. So he wasn't in deep, you know, I didn't spend 20 minutes getting him into trance.
But I guess we come back to that sense of security that people have with you, that they can relax.
Yes.
And
yes.
so you don't have to put them into a trance. You just have to be present, and they feel
yes.
the comfort of your yes. expertise and your
yes.
experience. And
yes.
they allow themselves to do this. It's operating at a level that is not linear.
Right. Oh, it's far from linear. You know, if this doesn't work, we do this. And if this doesn't work, we do that. And I must pay homage to the people whose shoulders I stand on, as we all do, you know, whether it be Edgar Cayce or Roger Woolger or Dr. Ian Stevenson, we all stand on their shoulders. And I think what's happened with the current vibration of the planet, it's allowed us to take what we have absorbed through our masters, our teachers, what I consider my masters and teachers, and that includes, you know, Brian Weiss and Carol Berman, all of these people that have gone before, the vibration has shifted so much, and because we do our own personal work, our vibration shifts. So it allows us to explore and receive new knowledge and new information, as you were talking about before. And I get downloaded all the time. Certainly my books are downloaded. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sure. When I'm teaching, I'm probably 50-50. When I'm in the clinic, I'd say I'm 80% downloaded. 80%.
Well, we're so caught up in our egos and our minds about who we think we are that I believe that we really are much greater than just those parts of us. And so you're somebody who, you know, is working on these higher frequencies, mm-hmm. and your mind is larger than your brain. You know, your world is huge, and so you're living in this hologram of reality that other people read you. You know, they can sit in a chair in your office, and all of a sudden they know what you want them to do. It's beyond the simple linear instructions of our minds and okay, now you're sitting here, this is what I want you to do. They already get it.
Having said that, I am very pragmatic. And
good.
I can be blunt. I do tell people to get over themselves. Uh-huh. You know, I really do. I say, come on, now get over yourself. This is really not about you. This is about your relationship. So let's talk in real terms. And, you know, it works because they come in expecting, you know, they've been in therapy for 20-some-odd years and everybody's been so sweet and kind. And I'm just saying, get over yourself. Let's really work on what the issue is. Let's make it work for you and for your partner or your boss or your child or whatever. Because I do quite a bit of relationship work that way. And let's see where it takes us. So come on now. Let's see what we can do here.
I call that the truth about compassion.
Compassion
is really being honest with people.
Yes.
Instead of sympathetic.
Nice. I like that. Thank you.
And so yes. I'm very impressed because pragmatism is so important. We want to get the job done. We're not just around to look good in some way and people go, oh, good for you. You're this or you're that.
That's right.
Results that count.
It's the results that count. It's the results and the ensuing life that counts. Yeah, I you know, as much as I love my clients, and I truly do, my heart is is turned over to them. Most of the time, I really want them to get better and leave. I mean, go about your life. I'm not, I'll be your coach. I'm not your crutch. I will be here should you need. But, you know, really, let's make it so that you live a joyful and full life without me. Right. I mean, isn't that the goal?
Right, and you might never hear from them again, and you're wishing them the best, and that's great. You can let it go. I always love it when people come and they were referred by these people.
Oh, yes.
And then they tell me how these people are doing and how much they rave about the help that they got.
Yes. I get emails, saying, you're not going to believe what's happened. This is like 6 months later, a year later. My daughter has now graduated thanks to you. She's blah, 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 blah. And I write back and say, it's not thanks to me. If you hadn't been there ready to do the work. It's never about me, honestly. And I'm not being stupidly humble or anything, because I'm not humble. But it's not about me. It's about the fact that, number one, they're ready to change. And number two, they've made the decision to change. So, and they're willing to do it, do the work and allow it. And it's a miracle. And just that is a miracle.
Right. But I'm excited also that you are so familiar with this process of regression, of using hypnosis to find the keys to where the blocks began and who did what and what people witnessed and experienced in the past that conditioned them.
Yes.
And you help them find that. And that's really a great purpose of what this work is about.
Yes. Yeah. And people who live in trauma in this life, you know, we all know people who are addicted to emotions. You know, they're drama queens, whatever sex they happen to be. And they're addicted to emotion, and it usually stems from either learning it in the womb, or from a a series of unfortunate past lives where, you know, drama was key. So they either died in revolution or they died at burning of the stake. It was always high-level drama. Most people don't have high-level drama in their lives, but I find that people who live in drama in this life quite often bring it in with them, that need for the rush, that need for the drama. And if there isn't any, they make it. I mean, we know people like that, right? We know people who live in drama.
Right, but I also think that we live on a planet that's very dense and a very low vibration here.
Yes.
That
yes.
We choose to come into life at a low vibration.
Yes.
And so we arrive here understanding that there's going to be some difficulties.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that we have a job to do. But the new people coming in, the new kids, they're not kids so much anymore, but they're extraordinary what they bring with them when they regress. Don't you find they are joyful most of the time? They come in with a very strong knowing of their role.
And I think they're here to create a great future for this planet.
Yes.
Because they're powerful.
Yes.
And optimistic.
Optimistic is big. We need it right now.
Right. And I think it's that they're willing to take control of the future world and be the difference that we haven't been yet.
Yes. I'm now finding very strangely that older teenagers are bringing their parents in. You know, I'm just not getting along with my mother, and it seems that, you know, we don't hear each other. Is there something that you can help us with? And I say, well, do you want to be helped? And they do, and then the mother or the father or all three of them come in. And sometimes there's resistance to change because people love their story, right? They love their story,
sure.
Whatever the story is. And it's not happening all the time, but quite often now the children are bringing their parents in.
I've had situations where parents send their children in, and
yes.
I look at the children and they're so beyond their parents. It's amazing how beautiful they are and
yes.
Profound and wise they are.
Yes.
And
they get it.
Then I reassure the parents that their kid is really not only all right, but they should pay attention to their kid and learn some
yeah.
new ideas.
Can we have a dialogue together? Why don't you come on in and we'll talk about it, all three of us, and see what language we can use so that we understand each other. I mean, isn't that the key?
Yeah, a lot of it is the language.
Yeah, and of course young men are inclined to grunt when you ask them a question. That doesn't help the process, so they have to learn to go beyond the grunt.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm curious also about is, in your regressions,
mm-hmm.
you might work with a family, and have you ever brought them back to a previous lifetime where they were together?
Yes, but not on purpose, because I have a belief that the soul takes us where we need to go. So a mother might come in and just not understand why she's not communicating with her teenage daughter who's off smoking dope or doing this or doing that. And she needs to feel more at peace and let her daughter go. Not go, but, you know, let it not.
Let her grow the right way.
Let her grow. Let her go
yeah.
and grow. And yeah. what we have found, that might not be the first life, because I usually do two or three in a session, but probably the second life or even the third life, that child might have been a parent in that time or a boss or the commander of the army that this woman was a soldier in. So she's born with an intention that she's in charge. There's no mother going to tell me what to do. So once the parent understands that that's role reversal, then we've got some groundwork. We've got some basis on which to work. And it's understanding too. So that often happens. I know that when I went back in one of my past journeys, my sister, who, you know, in the early days we had some troubles together, she was also a sister in a previous lifetime, but she was disabled and the beloved of my mother, and who had all of the attention and all of the time and all of the money and all of everything. And I literally ended up as Cinderella. And that gave me a huge recognition. Nothing to do with this life. It's just the feeling that I was carrying. And that's what heals everything. So once I sat down and explained it to her, she thought it was great and wanted to know why it didn't happen in this lifetime. Once you have the information, then you have a reason and an ability to move forward. Isn't that really what it's about?
That's exactly. And I think of healing that way. I think of healing is mostly facilitated through information.
Yes, knowledge and information.
Right.
And
so I've become an intuitive counselor instead of an intuitive healer.
That's interesting.
I still do a lot of healing work, but I'm so interested in information. And that's why I'm so fascinated by the work you're doing, because
yeah.
You really know how to get to where you want to get to through the surrender of just being confident and respecting your clients to let them go where they need to go.
Yes. I also have developed what I call an intake workshop, because I have found, after training people for years on how to do hypnosis, that most people don't know how to do an interview. Most people have no idea the questions to ask or not. And, you know, they spend 10 minutes in welcoming the person and not understanding anything about them. So I've developed that workshop, and from time to time I give it. And I used to give it at the Guild convention. I don't do that anymore because I don't go there anymore. But it's available for anybody who wants it. And I'll sell it really cheaply because it's done, and just to send them the information. It's quite a thick workbook. But it talks about how to really help people feel safe and the questions to ask, and then what to do once you have that answer. Because as you know, you've seen it, I'm sure, people say, so tell me a little bit about where were you born, and they tell you, and then say, oh, okay, and how many, they don't follow up. There's no, and again, this is my journalistic training. There's no follow-up to the questioning. So you don't really find out if they were born in a village, or in a town, in a city, where they are in the birth order. All of this is important information.
Sure. I'm fascinated, and so great talking with you to see that you appreciate what really I find essential in life is having the questions. Being
yes.
Paying attention so you know the right questions. And also being intuitive so you intuit the right questions, too.
Yes, and you can tell a lot by the way people answer a question.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that question of, tell me something you prefer I didn't know, is such a winner.
This is terrific. You're so wonderful. I'm so happy to be talking with you. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have learned from you in practice and are really good at what they do. People have read your books and all that. So
yeah.
I was going to say, I wish there were many of you, and I guess it's happening because you're spreading the word.
Yes, indeed.
Now, anyway. we're getting to the end of the show, and so I want to know, help people find you. So what's the best way?
Through my website, georginacannon.com, and there's email there. And I'm now starting, hopefully this week, to instigate online booking, which is a big experiment for me. So we're going to be doing that. And but yes, absolutely by email, georgina@georginacannon.com.
You know, you and I are Skyping this, so we're seeing
yes.
each other. And I can see that people can have a session with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Over Skype.
I don't do past life regression over Skype, and I don't do interlife over Skype. I want to be able to feel my clients when they're in the room, particularly if I've never met them before. Now, I do have international clients, and occasionally I might regress them back to cause if I've seen them in the clinic a few times and I really know them.
Uh-huh.
But most of the time it's counseling, coaching, some hypnosis, which is fine, but not regression work. I just in case they end up somewhere where they don't feel safe and I'm not there, I don't feel it's not ethical practice.
Right. That's why, for instance, I do about 80% of my work on the phone.
Yes.
And I can intuit back into the past for them. And
yes.
So it's less direct and it's easier
yeah.
to work with.
Now, yes.
I want to thank you so much. This has been a huge pleasure to talk with you, get to know you better.
Bless your heart.
And
thank
see
you.
The genius in you. And I'm thrilled that you've come into this life to be who you are and doing such a great job at it.
It's very humbling, and I give thanks for it every day, actually. The fact that people come into the clinic and trust you with their soul is extraordinarily humbling, as you know.
Yes. So, Georgina Cannon, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.